Yeah, I know what you mean. Ontario, that's the only contact I made. It was a big gun station coming in from Ontario. And that, I had to try it several times. So that's the only one that I got, and I was only on the radio for about 40 minutes. I was trying to explain, so we went to a 60th birthday party on Saturday. So non-hams explained what the field day is and so on, and they found it interesting. Emergency preparedness and communication.
Yep. And it's a teaching event, you know. It's nice to teach people who aren't familiar with it. And like this new ham who came to operate the other day. I thought that was just a nice thing. Usually we get some kids down there and we can show them a few things. But unfortunately, because of COVID, we weren't allowed to have anybody under 18 at the site. I just made it.
Oh, yeah, because you had to lie about your age. Hi. As soon as I choose this.
Oh, the gray mustache would give me away every time. But, very good on that. So how's everything with you? What's going on?
Everything's good. We're going on a little trip. Bumping and bumping here on the belt.
Oh, the belt parking lot. Yeah, I know that one. How far are you going?
It goes up south.
I'm sorry, something came in with you. Did you say south?
Roger.
Okay. I don't know how far, but whatever. It's always better than being here. That's for sure. I'd like to go down south. I was actually supposed to go this week. And then something changed. I decided not to go until kind of mid-August. So that's what I'm going to do. Go down there, put on my hurricane shutters, come back and catch the big ham fest in North Carolina on the way back. See my friends in the Carolinas, and, you know, and make a nice couple of week trip out of it.
When is the one in North Carolina?
Labor Day weekend.
Oh, at the end of the summer. Okay, I get Memorial Day and that mixed up. We have relatives in Charlotte. That's what I planned on going there. Last time we were there, my niece's husband gave me a present. He gave me a T-shirt, something to do with car racing, that they have to big car race, which I didn't know anything about. So I guess that's one of the locations where they have the big car race.
Oh, yeah, they're into NASCAR down there big time. All right, well, it's all right, nothing wrong with it. We try to do North Carolina Labor Day, which is about 12 hours from here. And then I'll drive back about 5 hours to my friend's house, stay there, and then the next day I'll head out and do my 8 hours back from his house. So that's probably going to be the plan, if I can wangle it.
Where in North Carolina is the big ham fest? And I've made a couple of times we drove down 12 hours to Charlotte. And once we went from Delaware, and that was 9 hours. I was surprised it took that long. We went across that bridge, I forget the name, Chesapeake Bay, and it was a storm. And I saw white caps on the water. I was the first drove across that. I said, holy cow, this is really dangerous. Coming back was gorgeous. We stopped at the restaurant, watched the people that were fishing there. With a bag of peanuts from Virginia, and soon that you see. So where's that location of the ham fest?
Yeah, the ham fest is in Shelby, North Carolina. And it's Labor Day weekend. I think it's like three days or something. I only go for a day. And then I come back. So, but that's, it's a nice ham fest. It's in a big, what do you call it, outdoor place. So it's really good. What can I tell you? It's always nice to get the hell out of here.
Would you be familiar with Joe? We used to call him Uncle Joe. I think his last name is Mezzatesta. No, something Mike Fonte. How is he doing? I haven't heard him. I know he goes back and forth to Florida.
He's back here now. Joe Mezzafonte, right?
Roger, that's the name.
Joe's back. He came back from Florida. He's got some health issues, but he seems to be doing all right.
I was, thinking about Florida, and I know he goes back and forth. Okay. The weather now is going to be 93 tomorrow. It's been actually brutal. I spoke to my sister. Pennsylvania near Stroudsburg and Taylorsburg. So I said, oh, it's so brutal here with the humidity and it's hot. We got the air conditioners on. You have air conditioning? We have them. She said, we don't need them. It's too comfortable. I said, really? So they're up in the mountains. I guess that's why.
All right. It is what it is. I missed my turn. Let me see where the hell I am. Crazy here. You miss your turn and you get lost in the back streets. Alright. Hey, I'm going to wish you a good trip, Ronnie. Have a good time. And, I don't know if you have DMR with you, but if you do, it would be nice to, hook up with you from wherever you're going to be. So, all the best, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. And to Ireland.
Never got into DMR, but, have a great day. Always good to speak with you. Stay safe. I'm glad you're still listening. Out.
K2MJP Mobile, Garden City.
KMB answers that you see more.
Within range of the repeater, your signal is not audible. Standing by here, KT2R1.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
KT2FIU portable.
KG2FIU, this is KG2RY, how's it going?
Hey David, yeah, very surprised you can hear me. Normally not able to work an HD from my QTH anymore, but this one's coming in. This is a sport model, a very old sport model.
QSL, sounds like fun. I have maybe 6 HDs my collection, and I never leave the house without having one available in my pocket.
This is the ICOM T2H. 2 meter only, and it's a pretty big radio. It's a sport model. It only uses double A's. It uses 8 double A's.
N2ZUC mobile. N2ZUC recognized. Yeah, double A's are great. Put the lithium double A's in there, you'll get a long-lasting power source. I also used Fox Tango 270, but I gave it to a friend. Go ahead, Phil.
Just to say hello, George and David, I'm on the Goddard Bridge. I'm going down to the downslope. Pick me up, George.
You're coming in extra clear, Ron, and good to hear from you. You're coming, are you returning? Are you heading east?
Next, go south.
Okay, we'll catch you on the goggles on the return then, I guess.
Roger, take care, both of you. As soon as you listen.
Talk to you later, Ron.
Hey, David, I'm going to go to the back of my house, which faces Manhattan, and I want to know if you can pick me up on the input.
No problem. I'll wait till you're there. Transmitting, I'm not getting any audio there. Yeah, you're weak into the repeater, mostly noise. You want to count to 5 and see if I can check the reverse. Negative, George, negative. I don't copy you on the input, and all I can hear is background noise.
Okay, we gave it a try. Right now, this is the base station. We gave it a try. Thank you.
Well, you know, George, you sound louder on the input with your base station than the repeater itself.
You're probably getting full bandwidth, and the repeater is probably filtering the deviation a bit. That's why the bass is sound. You're getting more audio quality also on the input.
Well, you know, George, that I'm a big fan of good audio and the ease of communication, KG2R1.
And so am I. That's why I like Kenwood HF transceivers. Audio in and audio out. They did it the best. I don't see them coming out with any more radios these days. Anyhow, I'm going to make a little lunch. And I haven't heard you for a while there. Are you doing well?
Can't complain. I complain. You know, it doesn't do me any good. You know, I had a pair of Kenwood Twins years ago. Very nice radio. And, you know, this transceiver, this tiny Yaesu transceiver, can do everything that those Kenwoods did in, like, maybe 10% of the space.
Yeah, but I don't believe that the audio, receive audio and transmit audio would be anywhere near as robust.
QSL, I have no way to compare what I had before and what I have now. But what I do set up inside the Yaesu is the EQ
for communications, receive audio, and there's like four or five choices. Then I attached a Cobra CV speaker, which is a 4 1/4 inch speaker inside of the case. It's designed for mobile use, but I use it in the base station. It seems to be all I need for the audio. Also, you know, I have a Kenwood TMV71A dual band transceiver, and for the audio, I have to attach a external speaker, you know, for the quality, and how to say it, it has to be pointed right at me. It's sort of like this idea of having the front-firing speaker.
You're being a little creative there. But, I like that. I like that. That is, engineering. you're self-engineering your equipment there. But nothing really has the audio of the, 8 line and 9 line HF transceivers, both receive and transmit audio, is just absolutely fabulous. I'll never get over it because when I listen to those radios and then go back to any other radio, I say, wow, what a difference. KD2, FIU.
QSL, George, I have to tell you, I love the sound of single sideband, and I love the sound of FM. I'm a big analog fan. I rarely go onto the digital mode, you know, for conversations, because I find that the digital, the sound of digital isn't so good for me. So, yes, analog. I think analog rules, KG2RY.
Well, yeah, I can't speak for that because I've never gotten into any digital phone work. Probably the next step in the future. The main of my hobby right now is always been HF. And if I'm going to go into something else, it's called improving my HF stations. That's the way I really grabbed into the hobby, and digital phone will probably be the next step. Although some of the guys are working HF and FT8, getting some good distant contacts. But okay, interesting enough. I'm going to make some lunch, David. This is lunch one, and then lunch two will be at 3 o'clock. thanks for picking me up. And catch you down the road. KG2RY, KD2FIU, turning to you for the final.
USL George, I say excellent conversations in any mode are very valuable. And for me, it's what makes the ham radio special and magical. The unexpected, and all the processes that lead to those experiences. 73, have a great day, George. KD2FIU from KD2R1.
KD2FIU, 73.
KD2FIU, WD2CMF.
Whoa, Pat, I just put my hand on the refrigerator door to get some lunch. How you doing?
I am doing good. I just heard you while passing through. I just want to get back to you real quick. When I was in on Saturday, I did check the aluminum over there. There are two sections, a 1-inch and a 1 1/4 inch, and both are 48 inches in length.
Well, okay, that's a little surprising. But, hey, thanks for checking it out. Because the instructions have it as a 1/8, 52-inch. Maybe I could make up a call. You know what? I was talking to them about that, the availability of the base. And check with the availability of the tube itself. I think this thing could be fully restored for about maybe 35. And Pat, that's a lot better than over 300 for the other antenna.
Yeah, well, I agree. And of course, the base is still there. You know, the original base that was cut, you know, to add the 80-meter loading coil, that's still there. I didn't measure that, though. I didn't think you were looking for the base. But there is an inch and a quarter section there. So let me know if you want it. I did look for the original loading coil. I can't find it.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to do it. The base, the U-bracket, and the upper and lower insulators, I think together they were about $17. And I think the tube itself may be around that price, $17 to $20. So that's all it's going to need. And after that, I want to find the make sure it is available. Then I'm going to take apart the traps, clean them all up, re-terminate with the screws, change the screws inside that go inside the traps that terminate the inductor wires, and clean it all up. And like I said, for not much, this thing's going to be, I know it's going to be working because I know how to repair the traps on both kinds of antennas. Let me let it drop and come back. Yeah, and sorry I couldn't hook up with you there Saturday. I did stay until after 5 and went back yesterday from about 10 until 2. And, wow, Pat, I don't know how you deal with the traffic on weekends. It's horrible. Over to you.
KWD2CMF. That's why I'm trying not to go in there any more than three times, you know, once every 3 weeks now, because the traffic is just, you know, unbearable, especially coming out in the morning. But, you know, going in the afternoon, I run into traffic from Lakeville Road. Going home at night at 7 o'clock, if you go after 7 o'clock, it's not too bad going out. Anyway, I did take a look for you, so you're right. For about $30, $35, that's not bad, but the traps is what I was always afraid of. I mean, remember, that antenna is 45 years old. So, you know, I would make sure that you can get those traps repaired first.
Oh, yes. I'm not going to buy the three, four pieces until I take the traps apart. But I wasn't going to take the traps apart until I knew that I could acquire the missing pieces. So, traps are repairable. I think they use a 12-gauge aluminum wire. Mosley uses a 10-gauge aluminum wire on the senior-size traps. I was able to do the Mosley's. Their traps were a little more complex than the high gain. So I'm confident, and thank you, by the way. And I would like this to be a ground mounted with the swivel, because I have one of these swivel bases for high gains ground mounting for a long time that I never used it. So this is the one that's going to go with that. KD2FIU.
Okay, George. Like I said, as long as you can use it, that's fine. You know, who haven't seen put to good use. Anyway, I was just passing through. I heard you. I just wanted to get back to you. Maybe I'll catch you on later on. KD2FIU, WD2CMF, and I'll stand by for your final.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming back. And I'm back to the fridge to make that cold lunch again. Good to hear from you. 73 Pat, KD2FIU, clear.
KG2RY, listening. Thank you.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
This is KD2UDU listening. How about it, Sam? How about it, KD2NSJ? You on the frequency? Yeah, you feeling all right today? Nothing hard. This is KD2UDU standing by. This is KD2UDU, still listening. I understand. Does everybody have the kind of field day that I had? I'd be a little tired of talking on the radio. Because I am. I just slept for 12 hours.
This is N2RQ Mobile. Also tired.
I think we all overdid it this past weekend.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of an easy one. Done a few more. Forgot your name. This is Lou N2RQ.
Yeah, Lou, this is Wayne, KD2UDU.
Signal got noisy just when you gave your name. Did you say Steve?
Negative, I said Wayne, Whiskey, Alpha, Yankee, November, Echo. I'm out in Suffolk County here.
Okay. Now that you said it again, it sounds like I should have remembered it, but... give you an idea how bad the signal was at that one moment. Anyway, I'm not going very far. I'm headed stopping because I heard you. So, where were you for field day? With us?
Fortunately, I did not make the Limark field day. I was with the NARC, the National Amateur Radio Club. I had meant to go to the Limark. I even told Richie I would be there, but, you know, things got out of hand, and I went up to staying with the one in Baldwin Harbor Park was where they were holding theirs.
Okay. I spoke with Barbara Lee W2OSR, and I would like to hear more about the antenna. I remember correctly, I think it's been operating 3A. Done more, but clubs in the area found for a long time.
Definitely three stations, 3A. The phone pretty much was on 40 meters the whole time. We had a low pass filter, so we would not interfere with anybody else close by. We had a CW tent and one station that was doing digital and then sometimes phone. So it was an enjoyable experience. I'm sorry I didn't make my Limark. I already said that next year I will go to Limark exclusively. You know, it's tough when you belong to two clubs, you know, and I would have enjoyed Limark too.
WB2EAV.
Good afternoon, Ed. were just, Wayne and I were just commiserating over being sleepy after the week. How are you?
I am good. I am good. Wayne, the key point is that you go and enjoy it. And don't worry about equal time and all that. Lou knows fully well that I know all about being involved in multiple clubs and how it always conflicts field day time. Back to Lou for comment.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ed. I did intend to try and do both, but it was too much.
Said you're out in Suffolk County now, Wayne, but where is the home?
See, from Secaucus. And I just pulled into my work parking lot, which is in Bohemia, because I'm going to work right now. This is my last week on the night shift, and I'm going back to second, I mean, to first shift next week.
KA2UTF.
KA2UTS recognized. I'm going to make this my final, because I'm pulling into my parking lot. So, nice talking to you, Wayne. Ed, keep up the good work. UTS, go ahead. This is N2RQ. 73, guys.
Before you go, Lou, hold on, Gary. Yeah, I didn't miss that nice comment you made about me Saturday. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's all.
That I appreciate it.
Okay, Ed. Enjoy it. This is N2RQ. 73, guys.
N2RQ sounds like somebody I queued with 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's him. He's been around forever, Gary.
Yeah, some call signs stick in your head, you know? There was one guy that I used to queue with quite a bit in a club that I'm happen to be the trustee of. NC2F. I loved his mnemonics. It was no chance to forget.
Don't know him. Wayne, are you still there?
I'm standing by, sitting in my car in the parking lot.
Well, if you're expecting any deep philosophical, thoughts, you might as well go in.
Sorry, Ed, you got a little noise in that last transmission.
If you're expecting any deep philosophy from Gary and me, you're wasting your time. Might as well get out of the car and go inside.
Unless, of course, you ask me.
It's up to you. So, Gary, what you been doing?
Okay, well, 7-3, that's Wayne in the parking lot. Are you signed, or you want to say something else?
I'm just standing by. This is KD2UDU. Just standing by. Nice to talk to you, though, Gary. I don't think I've ever spoken to you.
Okay, Wayne. Well, we'll catch up one of these days. 7-3, KD2UDU and the group KA2UTF. And nothing much yet. I'm just been trimming the tops of trees. I've been building bookcases for a closet. All kinds of domestic stuff.
All right, I'm busy running a couple of errands, but today is not the day for yard trimming unless you are in condition for working in the heat.
Yeah, that's true. It is not very comfortable out there, but I tend to tolerate the heat pretty well, but if you don't have to, why do it? Yeah, I just spoke with my nieces out on the coast. 109 degrees. They're the lucky ones.
I trace my ancestry back to Poland and Russia. And there may be something to that genetic stuff, because cold weather doesn't bother me anymore, anywhere near as much as heat does.
Yeah, well, I'm of Nordic descent. But I tend to like to lie out on a rock like a lizard in the noonday sun. So go figure.
I'll do you one better. I am at my first stop. I will leave us ponder that. And I should be back in about 15 minutes if anybody dares hang around. Would that WB2EAB's clear entering finals?
Okay, Ed, maybe we'll pick it up later. KA2UDF clear.
Guys, we'll talk to you all later. This is KD2UDU. I'm standing by.
All right, Wayne, you're a better man than I am. Good luck with it. Hope you have the engine and the air conditioning on. If not, go inside. It's just damn hot today. That WD2DAP is gone.
Well, my air conditioning in the car finally kicked in nicely, so it's all good for the moment.
Then you give you a hard time for depleting our fossil fuel resources and putting carbon in the atmosphere. I could, but I won't.
Unfortunately, Ed, I'm getting a lot of noise still in your signal. I know you're in like a dead spot by your house, probably, right?
It may very well be a dead spot, but it's not the one by my house. But that wasn't worth repeating. You enjoy. WB2EAB.
Have a good day. Thanks for picking me up.
Well, I'm still in here, KA2UCF. Hey, I'm used to copying signals like that. All the years I spent on the low band. As long as you have any intelligibility at all, which Ed has a modicum of, both in terms of his speech and his signal. I make out what he's saying. Wayne, I thought you were signed to going in somewhere. Were you just hanging out?
Yeah, I actually don't start until 3 p.m. So I'm a little bit early. My wife was watching soap operas, and I couldn't take it. I get cooped in, and I wind up watching them with her, and it's maddening. You know, I have enough problems with real people. I don't need to worry about actors, you know, playing a script. Sorry, but that I didn't hear any modulation at all. It was all noise. I'm not sure if that's me or you.
Well, I'm stationary. You copy me now?
Okay, I can hear you now.
KACCF. Yeah, I was just saying that I agree with you. I get very annoyed when I'm sitting in a waiting room somewhere and there's a huge television with some, you know, moronic show blasting in your face, and all you want to do is like read a magazine or something.
Yeah, I wind up, you know, getting involved watching the script, you know, unfold, and I'm always sorry later on. I'm like, you know, why did I even get, you know, involved with that?
Yep, once you start following, you get hooked and waste a lot of time.
It's unlikely I'm going to get hooked. It's just, you know, if I'm in the same room, I wind up watching it, even though I don't want to. So she thinks it's hysterical that I know some of the plot lines, and I don't think it's so funny, really.
Roger. I remember when my father was a writer, and when he needed some money, he would write some soap opera scripts that he even took me down once when I was a kid to sit in the production booth. That part of it was pretty interesting.
Well, that's good that he was able to make extra money from that. Yeah, I tell you, it's maddening that I get involved with it. Like I said, they're actors. You know, and you wind up, I get emotionally involved and really no reason to because it's all fake.
Exactly. Why should we care about these people? Real life, or, you know, basically are probably boring, or they're not, they're well off. Anyway, so you say you were at work.
E2UDU.
I do printing on clinical trial medical labels, so it's a very exclusive niche, so to speak, in the printing industry. The labels have to be perfect in every way. That you can't have an errant dot anywhere because it might change the strength of the medicine. So, you know, there's inspection upon inspection and very small quantities and probably very large prices for, you know, like I said, it's a lucrative niche. And so I've been here 14 years. I'm going to retire next year.
Very interesting, but I'm not clear what kind of print, what you print out. Either like identifying labels on medicines or patient ID labels or something like that.
It's a lot of wraparound booklet labels on syringes. So it's multiple languages, multiple pages. Each page has got a different language telling them how to use the medicine. They a lot of times they won't actually even name the medicine. Well, sometimes they do, but it's all for clinical trials. In clinical trials, there's dummy medicines to make you think you're taking the medicine because they want to have a double-blind setup. Because psychologically, you know, you might get better if you think you're taking a good medicine. So they eliminate that out with dummy loads, so to speak. But it's all stuff you'll never see unless you're very sick and part of a trial.
Yeah, that is kind of a niche industry. It's very interesting. Unusual application you've got there. But you say you're going to retire. 14, so were you always in that line of work, or you happened upon it somehow?
No, I kind of fell into this aspect of it. I've been doing printing for the past 30 years or so. Before that, I was in the aerospace industry. I was in the metal finishing aspect of aerospace. We did plating and painting on aircraft parts. So when the U.S. won the Cold War back in '88, my career ended in that, and I kind of fell into printing.
Okay. Yeah. When we won the Cold War, everybody was all upset that we were in arms race. We armed ourselves up so much that they couldn't match us. Sort of led to break out of peace, as it were. I guess that's one way of looking at it.
And we suffered for it. I mean, Long Island used to be a hotbed of industry. When we won the Cold War, they cut the defense budget way back. And multiple machine shops and finishing shops like I was in, they all went out of business because there was no work anymore. So Grumman actually merged with Northrop and, I don't know, something else. Fairchild went out completely. Ferry went out completely. And multiple others. Hazeltine, you know, all gone. All gone.
Oh, yeah. I remember Sperry was over there by Point Park, actually. Like, in Turnpike and the Grand Central, they had a set up there. I remember the guys from Grumman. We used to talk on the radio all the time. They had a radio club of their own. Yeah, the old days.
Grumman is one of the few survivors because they merged. They merged with Northrop and everybody else, I think. That's the only way you can stay alive. Basically. But a lot of the other ones that tried to go on alone, especially the small shops, who are you going to merge with when you're a small shop? They just went out of business.
Yeah, it's interesting. The drop-off in demand for that sort of hardware, free hardware. Talking with Ed the other day about the name of the plane. It was one of those B-whatever number planes. Excuse me. It was called the Peacemaker because it was capable of delivering a nuclear weapon, and that was like a step ahead of the adversaries. And so they sort of backed down because now we could deliver a payload. So they called the plane the Peacemaker.
It's either the P-52 or the B-1 bomber. I think the B-1 bomber had stealth technology.
Maybe it was the B-1. I remember one thing about it was it had an unusually large wingspan.
Oh, wow. I know the P-52. Thinking of the B-1 then.
Well, it was one of those. Ed has a lot of aeronautic information. I think it's one of the things he's into. Started talking about the P-40 Flying Tiger in World War II. Once you get him started, he's like a fount of information on that stuff.
I'll have to mention that to him next time I talk to him. Yeah, I miss him. My office, I was in quality control, so my office was basically wallpapered with every photo that I could dig up from the various vendors we dealt with of the aircraft. And it was, I left all that behind. It's too bad. That would be something to have these days.
I created a list of all the things that I got rid of that I shouldn't have. Very long.
Almost every day I think of something. You know, I got divorced, too. That's always magically good at getting stuff lost. So I just actually recovered 100 feet of RG-8 coax that I left in my wife's basement. You know, so it was there for 15 years. Thankfully, she didn't know what it was and just left it. And I just recovered it recently.
Wow, RG-8. Very thick. You can't bend it too much. If you try a right angle, you might not conduct. Yeah, I used to feed my 2-meter antennas with RG-8. I was pretty active at one time back a couple of decades ago. That's why I got on today, because I heard N2RQ in there, and I had to talk to him in his dog's age, but I'll wait till he comes back on. But yeah, I had a couple of co-phased vertical antennas, 0.64 wavelength each. They were spaced, you know, a little more than a half wavelength apart. And I co-phased them, and I fed them with RG-8. The amplification or the enhancement factor in that setup was quite a few dB of gain. And I really got out. I mean, I had a dominant signal.
82 UGU. Yeah, I have a pretty simple setup right now. I'm just using an N-Fed half-wave wire on a slope. You know, I'm fairly new to HF. You know, I've only been a ham exactly a year now. So my, you know, previous life, you know, I did 11 meters. That's where that RG-8 came from. But it's been many years since I did that, too.
Yeah, roger. Yeah, but I'm talking about a 2-meter setup. Because back then, there were a lot of guys on 2-meter simplex. And they were quite, they were spread out. I mean, you know, they were quite a distance apart. But they had great setups, great antennas, a lot of power. And we didn't use repeat as much. When I was in that group, there were guys, you know, as far as the wave will carry you. And they sort of got into it. You know, it was fun. Play with antennas. A lot of guys had two switchable antenna setups where you listen with an omnidirectional. And then once you know where you're talking to, you kind of switch to your beam and you kind of hone in. Rotating beam. Fun.
Interesting. I guess times have changed a lot. You know, now 2 meters is basically all repeaters, at least over here. I don't know about further west.
Well, we were into the challenge of, you know, figuring out propagation. And, you know, it's very ham stuff, you know. Part of ham I was most interested in was radio waves, propagation, and antennas, as opposed to circuits and like that. But you have to know everything. And a lot of guys like CW basically because it got through. Matter you had a lot of noise and bad conditions, where voice didn't make it, CW went through. It's a lot of fun to, you know, talking to somebody halfway around the globe. Of course, that doesn't work well if you're at a solar minimum, but I've been trying to figure out where we are in the solar cycle. Looks like we're on an upswing now, I think.
And that's what I'm hearing. I think the next year or so will really be good, thankfully. But anyway, Gary, I'm sorry to abandon you, but I'm going to go in, going to make some coffee, and get ready to go to work. So this is KD2UDU, and I'm going to sign. It's a pleasure talking to you. I hope to hear you again. Maybe Lou NTRQ will be on again in 2 minutes, I guess. So 7-3, and have a good rest of the day.
2-8. Work too hard. Nice talking with you. We'll look for you again. 7-3, KA2 UTF clear. Desk. I got the monitoring the repeater. Where are you headed to now, Ed?
Well, I have finished stop one. I'm headed to stop two. Then I have three, and then I have four, and then I have home. Three circles.
Okay. That stuff spread far apart?
Benjamin's. I gotta go about 8 miles to stop two. After that, they're fairly tight, then about 12 miles back.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I was in here talking with UDU just until a couple minutes ago. Nice fella. Does some interesting work, out of the way, career path, you might say. But, well, you know, I think I asked you this before. Weren't you, like, applying for a job with the Bridge and Tunnel Authority or something?
Well, ever since Northrop Grumman declared me retired over my objections when the Bethpage facility imploded, I've been dabbling in different engineering jobs, and for a while I was working with this outfit on these short-term assignments with the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority. And a few weeks, maybe a month ago, they called me up. They had one. Well, I'd be interested. I said, yeah. And then they called me like 2 days later, which shocked me, that there's a telephone, actually a Zoom interview set up. And they emailed me what they had on it. I called them back and said, this doesn't describe the job. They said, yeah, we see that, but go ahead anyway. So I go into the Zoom interview not understanding what the job requirements are. Apparently neither did the interviewers. So I wasn't shocked when I didn't hear anything back.
Well, maybe they haven't figured out what the job is yet.
I suspect their bosses probably told them they're waiting for funding or something. Meanwhile, see if you can pre-identify some people if and when the funding comes through. On the other hand, I have no idea if that's true, where I stand on any list. Although I will say, historically, when this outfit has called me up, I've just about always ended up with the job. But there's no guarantee with this one because it was so awkward. We had no idea what either of us were talking about.
I don't think that's entirely atypical of bureaucracies of that sort.
Meanwhile, all I know is I'm going crazy. And I'm at the point now that I would take any job that is a normal business hours. I should probably go back. I dabbled with Home Depot for a while. Problem was, if you're a newbie, it's all nights and weekends. And I don't really want that. I mean, if they guaranteed me, you know, normal business hours, I'd probably go back there. But, I have too much of a social life on nights and weekends, especially now things are getting back to what passes for normal. However, I can't seem to find anything that could use me regardless of what it is. Let's try. Giving up on what I really do.
Got about 50-60% of that. Read the paper these days, you would get the impression that all these jobs are going asking and they can't find anybody. But I guess it depends on what jobs you're talking about. Personally, pandemic hit, I went into full retirement. I was semi-retired, but that sort of tipped me into full retirement.
For the last year and a half, I was doing this part-time job that I was really, really, really enjoying it. But then they kind of came into some financial issues, and they put my whole project on limbo. I have no idea where I stand with that one.
Well, I guess you're fortunate in the sense that you probably don't need any job, but if one comes along and it's to your liking, you can take it.
Oh, I absolutely need a job, although I assume you mean financially. No, I don't need a job financially. Well, really, additional money does help, but I need it far more psychologically than 10-to-1 more psychologically than financially.
I understand. It's good to be doing something and having some sort of structure where you actually, a certain time of the week comes around, there's something that you must do. But I have to admit that the days just run into each other a little bit. But I made the adjustment pretty well. I'm not bored at all. I've got a whole bunch of things going on. But if the pandemic hadn't hit, I probably would still be working. And I don't rule it out in the video, something came. WB2VAZ from KBTV.
Listen, Gary, I don't understand why I'm not making it that well from where I usually make it perfectly. But I'm about to go into an area where I never make it well, so maybe I should sign right now.
Well, the last transmission dropped out in the middle for a while, just noise, and then I knew you were still in there because you kind of bubbled up every now and then. And then you were solid again, and you were solid on the last transmission. I know there's some sort of dead zone between the two repeaters. Is there a system where the repeater can detect which site will pick you up better and do a voting kind of thing the other side?
I'll give it a try. Yes, but I don't believe it's very sophisticated. But I think it's very bad that any of both repeaters are.
Yeah, you're in the bad zone. You're now in the bad zone. You said most repeaters, and that's the last thing I heard. But so I don't know how long that bad zone is, how many miles you got to go before you're out of it. So anyway, I'm here in the background. WB2EAVKACUTF.